It's time for the Taking Notes Podcast with Julian Robichaud and Bruce Elgort.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 122 of the Taking Notes Podcast. My name is Bruce Elgort, and I am here with...
Julian Sidebar Robichaud.
I knew you were going to say that. Who did we talk about sidebar stuff with today, sir?
Mikkel Heisterberg, and he is, it's kind of the guy in my mind to talk to about sidebar apps. Because he's one of just a real handful of people that has not only written a lot of sidebar apps and plugins and things like that for the Notes client, but also he's very helpful. I mean, he writes a lot of stuff on his blog about it and setting things up and fixing things and dealing with new versions of the client and Expeditor and things like that. So he's been very much a helper in terms of putting information out there about how other people can do this kind of thing too.
Mm-hmm. And for those of you who are not familiar with sidebar apps, you may want to check out, File Navigator on OpenNTF. We did talk about TwitNotes and Wildfire, but I think due to some of the changes that Twitter made with OAuth authentication, some of those may need an update. But again, Wildfire on OpenNTF and Mikkel's TwitNotes are really great examples of sidebar apps. And Julian, don't you have an example of a sidebar app somewhere?
I've got a couple, yeah. I think all of my free ones have been moved over to the Snaps templates website. And so I've got a little widget catalog over there with 6, 7, 8 little free sidebar apps you can do, like a calculator, a character map, a charting tool, some things like that.
Mm-hmm. And as you'll notice in the show, Mikkel is extremely enthusiastic about all things you can do with the sidebar, and he also tells us what it really takes to get started setting up your development environment and going through it. And right, he also talked about the Red Book that he's working on, right, Julian?
Yes. So there's a Red Book coming out very, very soon. And you know what? You'll hear about all of this stuff during the podcast interview itself. So we probably shouldn't take anything else away from that.
Yeah. So without any further ado, it's time to listen to Julian, Mikkel Heisterberg, and myself talk about all things sidebar. I'd like to welcome Mikkel Heisterberg to the podcast today. Mikkel, welcome aboard again.
Thank you very much. It's good to be here again.
Mikkel, for those who are not familiar with yourself and everything you do, why don't you just take a couple moments to introduce yourself, who you work for, what kinds of things you do. Take it away.
Okay. So my name is Mikkel Heisterberg, and I'm a developer from Denmark. I live near Copenhagen. For those of you who've been here and been to Tivoli Gardens, it's right off my neighborhood. I'm a developer doing everything Lotus, Lotus Connection, Lotus Notes, Lotus Domino, and of course, a lot of sidebar development. And I'm with a business partner out of Denmark doing calendaring and scheduling, and you should come see us at Lotusphere.
So the Notes sidebar has been around since Lotus Notes 8x, and there hasn't been much discussion about it on the blogs, on the wikis, and so forth. Mikkel's blog has had a couple entries on it. Mikkel's done a couple sidebar apps, and like I said before, Julian has. So Mikkel, why don't you introduce the sidebar to people, what it takes to develop apps in it, and how they can get started.
Sure. Well, actually, it is a bit of a pity that people haven't actually grasped onto this, because I think a very few people actually realized that once Notes 8 was released, that I think a lot of people focused on this brand new UI and how pretty it was and how blue it was. But it was actually the first Notes client that allowed Notes to be a client of stuff other than Domino. But the way to do this was through this new client interface, right? So you go ahead and you can use Java to build these plugins for the Notes client. And the sidebar was the obvious way to start. And that was where we saw most of the stuff getting started. But actually, this has turned out to be a gem that a few people, like you said, actually have grasped onto. Getting started, of course, has been kind of tricky. One thing, because the documentation hasn't really been there, and I think a big part of the blame for this is IBM themselves. They haven't really pushed it. If they had started off back when Hanover was announced, 5 years ago, and really focused on telling people that Java was the way to go and they should go ahead and learn Java, I think the situation would be completely different today. And I think with people so entrenched in Lotus Script development, it's just been a hard time getting people to the Java side. And I think that's the main reason.
Yeah, because really there's two things. One is trying to convince people to actually learn Java, and there's only so much you can do to get people to just, you know, finally buy some books and learn how to use the language. But you know, you mentioned the very briefly, you started to talk about, you know, kind of the setup and you know, some of the other things that are involved, and I think that's almost a bigger hurdle, because there's a lot of resources for Java, but like you said, there haven't been a whole lot of places you can go to learn just how to put all the pieces together to get started, which I guess that's kind of the whole point of the Red Book that you're writing, is that right?
Yeah, it's absolutely the reason, and sorry for probably rambling on before, but that's exactly the reason that IBM went out and that IBM are not stupid, and of course they realize that they need a comprehensive guide in one place for people to go to get started, and that's why the Red Book was kicked off. So we are a couple of guys. I think we're four guys from India. I think there's a guy from Boston, a guy from Italy, and myself, a guy from Ireland. So we're writing this Red Book that's due out at the end of the month. At least we have until the end of the month. And the purpose of the Red Book is to have one place where people can go and find stuff they would like to know about. How do you set up the IDE? So which version of Eclipse do I need to get? How do I configure the Expediter toolkit? How do I get so how do I actually get starting writing those first four or five lines of code that it'll take me to get a sidebar going. And honestly, it is five or six lines of code you need to write to get a sidebar going. But if you don't know all the steps beforehand, and honestly, there are a few steps to get the IDE set up, it is kind of a daunting task. So I think hopefully at the end of the month, we have about a week left to write, then there's a review, and hopefully begin October, we should have the Red Book out. And I think hopefully it'll be a place for people to go and contribute content after that. But hopefully it'll be this guide people have been looking for that will tell them how to go from A to C and get going with plugin development.
Wow. So this is really going to be truly a step-by-step kind of guide, right?
Well, that's what we're planning to do. So at the moment, we have a few chapters on setting the context and business context and why you would go ahead and do this. And maybe we should talk about that in just a bit. But then we move into, so how do you actually go and set up the IDE? So which version of Eclipse do you need? How do you install the Expediter toolkit? How do you verify it? How do you verify that this stuff actually works? Then we have a couple of chapters on, so how would you go ahead and develop plugins for Notes? How would you develop plugins for SameTime? How would you develop plugins for Symfony? How would you create menus, toolbars, all the various kinds of stuff? we've been discussing quite a bit on what the target audience is. And we finally realized or agreed upon that we should try and write it in a form that it should be approachable enough for people new to plugin development, but we should also leave something in there for people that know about this stuff but need to find specifics. So for instance, when an ISV comes to Lotus and they need to write a plugin, so we have these guys, they know Java, they know Eclipse, but how do we hook into the sidebar? How do we hook into the preference pages? How do we hook into the managed settings? All that kind of stuff. How do we deploy? Deployment was a big topic. I think I wrote a blog post asking people for comments and input on how to get going, what they wanted to know. And I think deployment was one of the number one, I think it was the number one topic people wanted to know about. So we're trying to cover all these kind of topics. Whether we'll be successful, time will tell, but at least we are trying very, very hard and we have a lot of content. So hopefully we'll get there and people will find it useful.
Mm-hmm. One thing that I failed to say in the beginning, Mikkel, which you talked about, was that it's not just about Notes plugin development. It's about Symfony. It's about Same Time, right?
Yeah, sure. It's about Notes, Same Time, and Symfony. And I think you asked me earlier when this plugin model was actually introduced, and I said Notes 8.0. And actually, it was even before that, because the plugin model actually came with Same Time 7.5. Of course, they changed the plugin model a little bit afterwards, but it's been with us for quite a while. And I think once people get into it, and once they realize that the code they write for Notes, they can deploy in Same Time, or they can use the skills they learn for Same Time in Symfony, I think it gets the ball rolling and they really want to proceed further.
Well, is the format of this going to be kind of a classic Red Book where it's a PDF that people can download, or is it going to be on a wiki site where it's going to be kind of constantly getting updated? Or do you know?
Well, I do know because I write it in a wiki. So it is going to be a wiki, and it's going to be available alongside the other wikis. And that's actually one of the purposes of this all was that we know that this is hopefully not going to be a stale document, and it needs to evolve. And that's also one of the challenges, right? To find out, so how much do we put in this wiki? How much do we reference the FDev wiki, for instance? How much do we reference the Eclipse documentation? So we're trying to kind of find it out, but for now, it's wiki with all the benefits of and drawbacks from that format.
What are some of the drawbacks? I used to love the physical red books, and I know sometimes when you read a wiki, you know, it can get a little convoluted, jumping around, you know, on links and so forth. How is it for you as an author writing in that particular format?
Well, sure. I think writing a wiki is different from writing a physical book, because we need to. It's difficult to write for a wiki because you find yourself thinking that people who go to the wiki, they really don't want in-depth information. They want a specific answer. So I think it's difficult to write about this in short format. So I think people shouldn't expect a normal wiki 5-line reply when they go to one of the topics. I think for one of the chapters that I wrote, I wrote 33 pages in Word about menus and actions. So I think it is going to be quite extensive. But writing a wiki is definitely different than writing a book.
Mikkel, let's step back a second to sidebar apps in general and talk about all the things you can do in the sidebar. So can you tell us?
Sure. Actually, the sidebar, as I said previously, is just a small subset, right? But the sidebar is the most obvious way to it's the most obvious place to put your plugin within Same Time or within Notes, because it gives you the opportunity of putting stuff in the peripheral view of the user, and allows and one of the real key aspects to the sidebar and the plugin model is that it allows you access to data just not within Notes. So for instance, one of the things that I do a lot is go and consult with customers about how they can leverage this technology and bring out information from external sources. It's actually quite seldom that we discuss, so how do we surface information from Notes within the sidebar? Because people are used to using Notes. They're used to using databases, email, and calendaring. It's not that. It's how do we go and surface quicker data within Notes? How do we use the REST services we already have in our financial system or SAP system to bring information that might be relevant in given context to the Notes user? And I think that's one of the key aspects, right? That's real-time access. And I think Julian would agree that it's when he thinks about sidebar development, it's very often not Notes data he wants to present. It's other stuff. It's aggregated data or data from external sources.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right that when you think about a plugin of any sort, you're kind of thinking pretty far outside that Notes box, where, you know, we can do a lot of things with Notes as just a Notes client. And a lot of times when you start looking at these sidebar and plugin projects, it's because you want to have some additional functionality that either has nothing to do with the Notes client whatsoever, or is kind of bigger than the Notes client in terms of, you know, the context that the information needs to be presented in, you know, or the way the user needs to interact with it, or things like that. And I think that's what's so interesting about the development too, is that, you know, when you're developing these plugins, that you can really do just about anything you want to with them. You know, you're not stuck in the NSF format or talking to a Domino server or something like that. You know, it's you can access the file system. What you can do with Notes. I mean, granted, Lotus Notes is very powerful and all that. But yeah, you know, like you said, just the connectivity that you can have, or again, the context where you've got this sidebar app just sort of sitting next to your Notes client, and you can kind of interact with it and share data.
Mm-hmm. You know, two of the sidebar apps I use, right, are File Navigator from OpenNTF, right? That's just this explorer view of your hard drive. And the other one I use is TwitNotes, Mikkel, that you wrote. Can you tell us how you got started with that?
Sure. Unfortunately, I have to know that probably you're seeing that you've been able to view tweets but not respond for a few days, and that's because Twitter actually changed the APIs. But the reason I actually wrote TwitNotes was that I was away skiing, and I think I heard Adam Gartenberg talk about how great it would be to have this new Twitter stuffy within Notes. And I thought, this is just right up my alley. So I started writing that, and I think it took me a couple of hours to write this. And actually, I've been using it afterwards as a customer demonstration as well, because if you install TwitNotes within your Notes client, or you install Wildfire, for instance, It's a perfect example of how you can demonstrate to customers how you can leverage the Notes platform, but go way beyond what's possible with the Notes client. And I think one of the other things that TwitNotes demonstrates, or some of the other commercial plugins that we have, is that you can go way beyond the presentational style that's available in Notes. For instance, one of the key limitations in Notes and Notes views is that you have one line corresponds to one document. There's no way around that, because that's how views are built and that's how they work. But like Julian said, with plugins, sidebar plugins, you can do whatever you want. You can do animation, you can do graphing, you can do collapsible documents, like, so take 5 or 10 documents and show them on a single line, and you can expand to see the details, right? And that's some of the things that I realized once I started TwitNotes, because TwitNotes started out as kind of a example playground, somewhere to get started, but it turned out to be quite useful and demonstrate quite a lot of stuff, and I think And I think it's stuff like this people need to get started. And you and Bruce, you briefly mentioned the file navigator. It's a brilliant example of how you can go grab some code from OpenNTF, download the source, get it into your Eclipse, and see, so how does he do this? So how does he actually go ahead and add preferences? How does he go ahead and do a toolbar, right? And that's one of the key benefits of OpenNTF. One, you get great products, but you also get the source code, right?
Now, something else that you've had quite a few blog entries and some information on in the last couple months is live text. It seems like you're really kind of hot on this live text widget functionality too.
Yeah, sure. Live text, actually, I laughed when it was introduced in Node 8.1. and when they introduced my widgets and Google Gadgets, I laughed so hard. But it took me some time, but I've come to the conclusion that my widgets and live text, it's brilliant because it's the easiest way to extend the client, and it can be done by super users, really, right? So after using this for some time, I kind of find out that live text is great and widgets are great, but there are some limitations. And that's where the extensibility of that, the extensible way of the Notes client or the Eclipse client comes in, right? Because looking at it, live text is just a standardized way of adding actions to context menus, right-click menus, and you can actually hook into that. So that's what I put on my blog was, so what if we want to go and not just hook a live text example to Java or to a web widget? What if we're going to go and couple live text to a Java action? And it's actually quite simple. It's very few lines of code. Of course, you need to know how, but it's very, very simple. And I think it unleashes a wealth of potential for hooking in business information across applications, right? Because plugins, with their very nature, they go across the entire Notes client, so you have the ability to interact with these kind of actions from your CRM system, from your mail database, from your calendar. So you get access to all this information using the same plugin model.
Yeah, and another thing that we just got in terms of interaction, we got this with 8.5.1, is the Java UI, where now we can finally have a plugin interact with the Notes front end and create documents in the front end and interact with fields and things like that. Is that something that you ended up talking about in the Red Book, or was that kind of beyond the scope of the Red Book?
Well, there will be something, and that's because the selection model of Notes is still a little bit different from how the basic Eclipse selection model works. So the recommended way of tracking selections within the Notes client is actually using the Notes UI or the Notes Java UI classes. But you're absolutely right that given the Java UI classes, we're actually giving the last piece to the puzzle of how to interact with front-end data, and it's so easy. I'm surprised that people aren't using it more. It's just like we've been having for years, right? Do a workspace, create front-end documents, populate fields. You can do the exact same thing using Java now. Mm. You can. I have a cool example actually running on my Notes client now that I can go into a mail message, right? I can right-click and say, I want to track this message. So whenever I send the email and I save it, it'll actually pop up a dialogue saying, okay, so you told me you wanted to do stuff with this email. What do you want to do? Do you want to put it in this system? Do you want to interact with the sidebar plugin? What do you want to do? And all this is possible using the Java UI API. I think there's a lot of people who don't realize, A, that it's there, and B, how easy it is to use and how powerful it is.
That's why you're on the podcast today, Mikkel.
Exactly. Besides, I'm funny.
Well, now you actually do a lot of training too, in terms of just sort of sitting down with people for a day or two and teaching them about some of these technologies. What do you think is kind of the hardest thing for someone to grasp? Someone who's never you know, used Eclipse before, never written a sidebar app. I mean, besides just learning Java, what do you think the hardest thing is for people to grasp in terms of just getting a grip on how to do this plugin integration in the first place?
I think the concepts are hard to grasp at first. I think learning the terminology, it's a new whole new set of terminology things, right? You need to know about plugins and features and update sites and stuff like that. That's one. But actually, I find that what people are having the hardest time with is actually configuring Eclipse with Expedited Toolkit. And I saw Bruce on Twitter just today talking to corresponding with a guy, and I've been having the same discussion with him, simply getting a raw Eclipse configured for Lotus Notes. That's extremely, that it appears somehow to be difficult, and it's probably hard for you and me to relate to that, because we've done it numerous times, right?
Right. But, yeah, you just download it and do it, right?
But Nathan exactly. Nathan Freeman was also tweeting about his experiences fighting, I think, the Expeditor Toolkit installation or something like that. I'm not too sure. Maybe Nathan can check in on the comments. But I'm sorry, Mikkel.
Well, actually, yeah, you know what?
I think Nathan's problems were different, because Nathan was trying to get Eclipse or to get DDE Designer launched from Eclipse, because he's using the Xpages extensibility library. Which you also do using some plugins. So he wanted to launch DDE, and there's no really supported way of doing that. And I think a lot of frustration came out for him. And I think Nathan is one of the guys who's been setting up. He's probably setting up Eclipse every week, right? And he did Bones and he did stuff. So it's not like he's a novice developer by any means, but it's just, for some reason, some of this stuff is just hard, and it's way harder than it should be. But I think if you ask me, I think the number one reason or the one number one thing that people find the hardest, it's configuring Eclipse.
Now that brings up an interesting point, because you had a blog entry a couple weeks ago where you said that you don't actually use the Expeditor Toolkit as part of your base install for developing Notes plugins. Tell me what the rationale behind that is. What is your reasoning behind doing that? Or how do you set it up otherwise?
Well, I always tell people that there are two ways to configure Eclipse to develop against Lotus Notes. The first way is the preferable way, is to go and get Expeditor Toolkit, install Expeditor Toolkit into Eclipse, and that's that. But the other way, which probably isn't as obvious as using Expeditor Toolkit, is simply just doing it yourself. And that's how I do it. And the rationale behind doing it was that I, like you, I'm a member of the Notes Design Partner Program. So we often get new builds of the Notes client. And often the Expeditor Toolkit isn't released at the same speed as the betas are released for the Notes client. So the Expeditor Toolkit wouldn't work for me, because for some reason or another, I was running 8.5.1 beta, whatever, or 8.5.2, code drop 7, and the Expeditor Toolkit just didn't cope with that. So at one point, I just sat down and I figured out, so how do we do this? And actually, one of the really cool thing about Eclipse is that you use Eclipse to develop for Eclipse. So you use Eclipse to develop for Notes. And that's why Symfony or SameTime or Notes, it's just what you call a target platform in Eclipse. So you could just as well go and configure it yourself. So after I did this and I had that running, I kind of realized that I never used the functionality of Expeditor Toolkit. I never used the functionality of switching between different target environments, like going, today I'm developing for Symfony, today I'm developing for Notes. I never actually used that. I just reused the raw stuff. So that's the main reason I don't use Expeditor Toolkit. And I found that it doesn't make a difference for me. So that's why.
Now, does that also allow you to use the very latest and greatest version of Eclipse? Because I know that sometimes the Expeditor Toolkit is very picky about which version of Eclipse you're running. So can you run a newer version of Eclipse because you have it set up that way too?
Sure. I'm using Eclipse 3.5 and 3.6.
Okay.
I think you're absolutely right that if you go and you download Expeditor Toolkit, so this is IBM products, right? So there's a lot of versions. But if you go and get Expeditor Toolkit 6.2.1, which is the current version, I believe, you use Eclipse 3.4.2. And I think Eclipse releases a major version every year, right? So that's 2 years old now. And it's fine if all you want to do is develop for the platform. But a lot of the supporting tools get better as well, right? So a lot of the debug tools and the editors and the functionality wise, it just gets better and better with Eclipse. So it's a really real pity to be stuck back on 3.4, for instance. So
Mikkel, for those people who don't know exactly what the Expeditor Toolkit is and does, can you just help fill them in?
Sure. So the answer, or the short answer, is that when IBM started doing the Hanover client and the Nose 8 clients a few years back, they realized that it would be a real pity to go ahead and redo the mistake they did earlier by doing one specific client for Node and one for DB2 and so on. So instead of doing that, they said, okay, let's take this Eclipse technology, and upon the Eclipse technology, we'll build a standard client. And that client they called Expeditor. So Expeditor is actually a separate product that you can buy from IBM Lotus. So on top of Expeditor, they have built a series of clients, and Notes and same time are two of those clients that are built upon Expeditor. So the way you develop for the IBM clients built on Expeditor is of course using the Expeditor Toolkit. So what Expeditor Toolkit does is that it allows you to grab a pure, clean, vanilla Eclipse 3.4.2 RCP install, configure that, install the Expeditor Toolkit on top of that, and then you're all set to go to develop plugins against the various Expeditor clients nodes, same time in Symfony.
Cool. Wow. I have a question also that I'm sure a lot of people are asking who are not familiar with sidebar, you know, and plugin development, does any of this transfer over to any of the web stuff, like, you know, I'll say Project Vulkan, Lotus Connections? So the simple answer, Mikkel, would be?
Probably no. But I think that, of course, Project Vulkan, and there's a lot of stuff coming down the pike, but I think a lot of this stuff that you learn when you start doing plugins is doing modular systems, doing stuff in plugins in smaller modules that you then combine to do a greater whole. So I think there's nothing lost in getting started doing plugins and learning the terminology and doing stuff this way. And actually, I think if you, for instance, go with Lotus Connections and you extend it using iWidgets, the way to do that is also using Eclipse as the IDE to do this kind of stuff. So whether the technology and whether a plugin that you develop now will work in 5 years in Project Vulkan or whatever's coming down the pike, it's probably too soon to tell. But knowing the IBM way of break nothing, I think it'll be safe to say that Java plugins you use do today is probably going to keep working for a few years anyway. Mm-hmm. I don't know if Julian has anything else, but I think looking forward, if I look in the crystal ball and you say, so what's going to happen in 3 or 4 years, I think it's very difficult to say which kind of clients we'll be using in 5 years.
We're going to hold you to it, so you need to say. we need to hear your prediction, because didn't you recently switch to a Mac?
I was trying to switch to a Mac, but I realized that a lot of the customers I have is using Windows, and I finally realized that it's probably better for me to stick on a platform that's the same as what the customers use. So I haven't really given up hope yet, but I'm sitting looking at my Lenovo T410S laptop. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, if you need to, you know, put some pressure on Steve Jobs, I heard that Paul Mooney actually has an inside channel to Steve. So just you know, let him know if you need some help convincing your customers to move over to Mac.
All right. So, Bruce, are there any other pressing questions we need to ask? I think that was a lot of stuff in just about half an hour or so.
Yeah, I do. I do have one set of, I would say, let's again circle back as the word of the day. So, Mikkel, what would be, say, the two, three, or four things someone should do to get started with plugin development?
So, I think what they should do right away is get an IDE configured for Notes. Then they should hope that once they have done that, the Red Book is out. Grab that, follow along, read that and get the IDE set up. Then go and find some examples. Go and find some examples that will show you how to do the basic stuff. I think if you go to Google and you search for Eclipse or Notes and sidebars, you'll find numerous examples, and the Red Book will have examples as well. So find some examples, get them into Eclipse, find out how you do stuff. And basically, it's not that difficult as you might think. So I think it would be get the IDE, get it configured, get the Red Book, start the reading, and be happy.
Very cool. Like you said, Mikkel, Google for, you know, Lotus Notes sidebar apps, and you'll find, like, the ones you spoke of, right? You'll find TwitNotes, File Navigator, Wildfire by ISW, and lots of other good stuff. In fact, Alan Lepofsky has a wiki page that also pops up in the Google search results towards the top, which has a comprehensive list of all things Notes sidebar apps. So I have no further questions other than how can people learn more about you, Mikkel, and maybe on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn?
Sure, they could. I think the best way to catch me is catch me on my blog, which is lekimworld.com. That's LekimWorld.com. I'm on Twitter. I'm Lekim on Twitter. I am on Bleed Yellow same time. I think I've been known to help people if they have problems with sidebars and Java development in general. So ping me on same time, ping me on Skype. I'm usually willing to lend a hand and let people know how to get started, give them tips and tricks. Mm-hmm. I think I think my blog and Skype same time. Twitter, of course, is probably the best way to actually get me,
right,
to actually find me. And just one quick note that I forgot to mention. Just before we started recording, I went to DeveloperWorks, and I tried simply to search for Eclipse and RCP. I think I got 9 articles on how to get started writing to write stuff for Eclipse. I think if people remember one thing from this podcast today, I think it should be that developing for Notes is very similar to developing for Eclipse, right? So do not feel frustrated if you can't find the examples or the help you need in relation to Notes at the same time. Try and broaden your search to Eclipse RCP, and you'll probably be rewarded, and you'll find all the stuff you actually need. And once you get into it, it's easier to port it to Notes and port it to the same time.
Mm-hmm. And one bit of advice for you, Mikkel, is don't write sidebar apps on your ski trips. Okay.
I'll try hard to. I'm actually having a child in November, so I'll probably put quite a restraint on the amount of time I have to write sidebars, but we'll have to wait and see.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Robichaud, any more questions for Mikkel?
No, I just can't wait for the Red Book to come out. I think that it is long overdue. And Mikkel, I think you are absolutely the right person to be on that team. And I think that's really going to be excellent information for everyone. And the fact that it's on the wiki and that they can actually, people can comment on it and you can update the articles, I think it's going to be great. Mm-hmm. So congratulations on getting on that project.
Yeah, same here.
And thank you for doing it.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. And so please, people, read it, comment, give us feedback. And I think come meet me at Lotusphere. Come talk about it. I think the more the merrier, and the more people that start doing this stuff, the more resources will be put into this by IBM. I think they're more than willing, but I think we just need developers from the ISVs, ISVs, business partners. We need you guys.
Yeah, wake up, ISVs. Write sidebar apps.
Yeah, write some sidebar apps and write some context menus and realize how easy it is with a few lines of code to do a context menu for a same time contact person or notes document. It's amazingly easy, and it's once you get over that first hurdle, it's so rewarding.
Yeah, you don't sound so enthusiastic about writing sidebar apps, Mikkel. So
well, it's actually because that sidebar apps are great, but actually I find that the more I write plugins, the more either full screen applications I do within Notes using the Java stuff, or I write context menus because, you know, when the Notes client came out and everyone was writing sidebars and we installed sidebars right and left, and you realize that there wasn't enough space in the sidebar, so they introduced that feature where they would minimize, right? So I think doing that, realizing that, it just became apparent that sometimes you don't really need the UI there all the time. Many times it's just as good to have a context menu or a toolbar and then bring forth the UI once you need it. So it's not like so it's not that I don't like sidebars. I spend a lot of my time writing sidebars, but I think people shouldn't be so hooked on writing a sidebar for the sidebar's sake if they can't really figure out how to make it work. Start by thinking of the functionality and then just be glad that you're building on a client that allows you to extend just about anything, right? Whether it's toolbars, menus, context menus, preferences, whatever. It's if you want to extend it, it's probably possible.
Mm-hmm. Well said. Very well said. Well, that's a wrap for episode 122 of the Taking Notes podcast. I just want to also add that those promo codes for the XPages 101 video training are valid for another 2 weeks. That's TN119 and TN120 to receive a 33% discount on XPages 101 video training. So use it while you can.
Okay. Well, thank you, Bruce, for for the idea of getting Mikkel on here in the first place. And I think this is some good information for everyone. Mikkel, thank you for actually coming on the show and I guess talking and being so smart.
Yeah, it's amazing, Mikkel. Your enthusiasm, the work you've done, that you've shared with everyone, you know, speaking about the sidebar stuff at conferences, you know, well done, my friend.
Thank you very much, and thank you for letting me on again. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, Bruce, that's it for both of us, I think. So to all of you loyal listeners, thanks very much for downloading the podcast and giving it a listen, and we'll talk to you next time.